Hey, Z-Pack, it's your boy Z-Dog MD. What's up? I'm live and direct from the backyard here in the Bay Area, where we had been without power since Saturday as part of a planned shutoff from Pacific Gas and Electric in order to deal with a wind event, which was apparently a once-in-a-decade wind event, which didn't seem like a once-in-a-decade wind event from this end. But what do I know? I'm not a meteorologist. I'm just a doctor. And they turned off the power to something like 2 million customers in California to prevent wildfires. And as you might be able to see, even behind me here, here's the bay. That haze of brown is coming south from the Kincade Fire in Sonoma County down here to the Bay Area, where we get to see it here. And it's been a mess over there. Thoughts going out to everybody up there that is struggling with evacuation in Healdsburg and other places. A lot of people are coming down here and staying. And in the process of this, PG&E had shut off in a planned shutoff, again, power to about 2 million customers. Now, it's not so for people like us who have a house, we were affected by the shutoff. The power just came on at 11 a.m. this morning. We can deal with it, right? We charge our phones in advance. We have flashlights. We keep the refrigerator closed. We have no hot water because we have an electric hot water thing, and we have no heat, and we have, that's fine. We can deal with it. The kids' school was canceled. We can deal with that. You can go drive somewhere to Starbucks and charge up your stuff and get hot coffee and those kind of things. First world problems, right? But what happens to hospitals? What happens to nursing homes? What happens to people who are medically fragile, who are living at home with things like oxygen concentrators, ventilators, CPAP, BiPAP, these kind of things that require electricity and power in order to function, and people are dependent on to stay alive? So as you might imagine, the hospitals have been warned about this, but that doesn't make it any easier. It is a regulation in order to get Medicare money and JCO and all these other things to pass that you have generators for backup in hospitals and nursing homes. That's fine. But what about the patients again at home? And what about what happens when the power does go off in a hospital? So are you going to take elective surgeries? No. In fact, you can finish surgeries that you're doing, but I think there's regulations that you're not supposed to start new surgeries. So what happens there? Where do you prioritize power? Do you prioritize it to an electronic health record so you can get records, because everything's electronic now? Or do you prioritize it to your vaccine refrigerator? Or do you prioritize it to administrative functions so you can call patients and cancel elective procedures? Obviously, you were going to prioritize it to ICU and situations where you need power. And not only that, but don't forget, when the power goes off, often it isn't instantaneous that a generator immediately kicks on. A lot of times systems reboot. So you got to make sure, well, okay, are some of these on battery power? When they reboot, can a patient be vulnerable? How's it going to affect vulnerable medical equipment in the hospital setting? That's just the hospital setting you have to think about, right? And so I want you people. I sound like Ross Perot in the 90s. I want you guys to weigh in the comments when these things happen in California or in Florida, wherever you are where there's a natural disaster. And in our case, we had a good warning for it. What's your process in the hospital? What are things that go wrong? How have you guys handled it? Was it smooth? How do you deal with systems being down? Do you have enough generator power? If you're in a nursing home, it turns out you're required to have generators to run medical equipment and so on, and fire protection services, things like that. But you're not necessarily required to have generator power to power refrigerators that serve the food, or air conditioners that for the elderly can be a huge deal. It can be the difference between an admission and death and being okay, right? So weigh in, you guys, if you work in a SNF, if you work in a hospital, how have you been affected by the power outages? And don't forget, there are a lot of outpatient clinics that are not mandated to have generators. And so when the power goes out, they have to make these really critical decisions. Do we try to figure out how to get medical records online first? Do we, again, these refrigerators that are holding thousands of dollars worth of vaccines that are necessary, what do we do with that? And there have been stories of California clinics in Northern California having to shuttle vaccines to nearby clinics that can store them that aren't affected by the power outage. And this is a huge, huge thing. When PG&E talks about turning off power, they're trying to prevent wildfires and things like that because they are liable legally for the destruction and the damages that are caused by downed power lines, as they were in the fire from a couple of years ago that they're in bankruptcy over, right? So of course now they're going to turn everything off. But the question is, are we missing the point here that more people are potentially going to die because of the power outages than would in wildfires caused by this? This is the sort of harm reduction that we have to think about when we weigh these things. So you have outpatient clinics now that don't have power. And then let's not forget the actual patients at home. So it turns out when you turn off the power, it is like what economists call a regressive tax. So what it does, it preferentially harms people of low income and medically fragile people, as opposed to people of higher income and who are healthy, because those folks can adapt and manage and not a big deal. But what happens when, you know, you're home on oxygen, you have an oxygen concentrator, you have a CPAP machine, you have a ventilator, you have an IV pump, whatever it is that you have, even a feeding pump, right? And you no longer have power. You know, and the batteries are depleted and you can't really get around easily. What are you going to do? Now, PG&E has actually had to go out of its way. They have a database of people who get discounts on electricity because they have medical equipment that requires a lot of electricity. And they have to call these folks, even go door to door to try to see if they're okay. That's PG&E. What's our responsibility as healthcare practitioners knowing these patients, right? What's our capacity as healthcare practitioners where we're already pushed to the limit? Should it be on us to try to take care of these patients and maybe make sure we call them, make sure we show up, make sure we send a health coach or some other staff? It's hard when, of course, maybe we don't have electricity in our clinic and have to shut down elective procedures and those sort of things. Now, here's another twist, and I want you guys to tell me if you're actually seeing this. When medically fragile patients have no power, what are they going to do? A lot of them will say, well, I'm just going to go to the ER so I can at least plug in my machine. Now, are we seeing a bump in emergency room visits during these power outages? I want to hear from you guys and see what you're experiencing, because you can imagine that could then make it very difficult for ERs to manage patient flow for real problems, particularly if something like a wildfire breaks out and you have injuries and casualties from that, or traffic accidents due to the lack of proper functioning streetlights, which we had right here in my town. It's again, and Florida's been dealing with this forever. In California, you know, someone made a joke. So I was tweeting about being in the dark in California, and they said, what did socialists use for a light source prior to candles? And I was like, what? And he goes, electricity. So anyways, it's really interesting that we're in the fifth largest economy in the world, and yet here we are in the dark, and you can see the smoke behind me. I mean, look at that. So it's a very difficult situation because you have the intersection of things like climate change, wild space management, and a bunch of things that are now coming to a head, and they're affecting healthcare directly. So let's read some comments. Thank you for the people who are sending stars. So Jason Steen, LVADs are directed to fire stations to charge. So imagine you have a left ventricular assist device. How are you going to charge that if you have no power? So Jason's saying they're going to fire stations. Now, here's the thing. During times like this, the fire stations are all on alert anyways, and it's a kind of a big deal. So is staffing an issue? Is availability an issue? You know, those are things I want to know. And sorry it's so dark right now, but, you know, the sun's going down. I want to be outside when I did this talk. What about those on oxygen compressors at home and vents at home? Right. I mean, these are the questions we need to ask. And a lot of them have been given heads up. But the thing is, what are you going to do? Are you going to have a home generator? Are you going to find a place that you can go? Mobility can be a real problem. It's a big deal. So Alan Chang is weighing in. He says, in 2016, the entire state of South Australia went under due to heavy winds. Hospitals went to backup generators, but then we had news of patients in ICU had to go to other hospitals. There were news of eggs preserved for IVF that were lost. These were only a few things we heard. There have been resolutions to prevent incidents happening again. The state went dark for a day, possibly longer, with people with power for days. And that's the thing. These are real issues that you have to address, because PG&E is saying things like, well, you may be without power, plan to be without power for 5 to 7 days. I mean, dude, you know, we just haven't had power since Saturday, and it's like DEFCON 1 over here. And school is canceled, and the kids are going crazy, although they're carving pumpkins, which I'm going to have to show you before we're done. Let's read some more comments here. Suzanne Anderson's been home from for 2 days because the smoke and the fires. Did the cat just throw up?
Almost.
Mm. Better. Maya, can you put her in the mudroom?
But my hands are dirty.
And just lock her in there. See, our cat will run around and just find a rug and throw up on it because that's the kind of cat we're dealing with. This is Mitch, our cat, who's a female, but named Mitch. Victoria's thrown her in the mudroom. Let's see. Can't comment right now, but I love your voice. Keep going. Thanks, Margarita. Let's see. Are you losing weight, Irene? No, I'm actually gaining weight. Catherine Ann, it looks like the city's on fire behind you. No, I don't think so. It's just, let's see if we can get it to show us. It's just the effect of the camera, but that all that brown haze right over here is the smoke over the bay in the Bay Area of California. Thanks for the stars, Suzanne. We're off the grid all the time. Love the quiet of solar, Jackie Barnes. Right. I mean, and again, it'd be great if you had the means to have solar, right? But our patients a lot of times don't have it. Hospitals can't rely on solar without a big backup battery, and they're not, you know, if there's cloud cover and stuff, you can't, it's regulatory-wise, you can't rely on it until things change. So Melissa says, my dad's lucky, he has a car charger for his oxygen so he can charge it while driving around. That's actually pretty awesome. But I mean, again, he's like somebody who's quite mobile, walkie-talkie. There are patients who aren't, and it becomes a problem. Let's see, I'm going to scroll back and see some older comments here. These little star things get in my way of seeing the comments. Hold on. Joe Butler, solar panels and Tesla battery wall can be financed. Clinics could be off the grid. I have an 8-year-old solar panels and they work. Well, so it requires infrastructure planning. It requires money. It requires investment. It requires regulatory changes. There's a lot of things that need to happen, but we ought to be thinking about that. So that's the point of the show. So anyways, in the comments, I want you guys to weigh in. PG&E is telling me that tomorrow, sorry, I'm getting over a cold, you guys. Tomorrow, we may have power out again. So they're texting us saying, charge your devices. And so it's a deal. Now, for people who are going through hurricanes in Texas and Florida and Mississippi and these kind of things, this is nothing for you guys. You guys are used to it. For us spoiled Californians, it's a big deal. And the thing is, we're not necessarily as prepared. So we need to be, and this is a call to action for that. Also, I want to hear your ideas and your stories about how this has affected you and what you think we can do better or things that you guys are doing in your group that have made it manageable. All right, guys, I love you. Hit share, hit like. If you're not a supporter, think about becoming one. We have these conversations a lot, and it helps support everything we do. And I love you guys. We out. Oh, wait. I told my daughter I'd show you guys the pumpkins they're doing. Okay, check it out.
This is my sister's, but I'm helping her because she's bad at carving pumpkins.
Hey! You're helping Maya carve the pumpkin? Ooh, that's cute. Is that a kitty?
Yeah.
Let's see it. There it is. Halloween's coming.
I chose a kitty.
Let me see your pumpkin, Nina.
Okay. Wait for it.
So you got one spot.
That's a cat.
That's a cat. Very adorable. And then on the other side, what do you got?
The other
side says
yeet.
Yeet. It's backwards because of my phone, and I can't get it to show. But there it is. Yeet! Anyways, guys, I love you. Stay safe. Again, especially if you're in a wildfire area, whether it's in Southern California or Northern California, stay safe, and we're thinking about you. All right, peace.